Before we commence, let us take a moment to worship the Supreme One, the Infinitely Compassionate One, the One who liberated Himself and all others from the clutches of samsara. And to do so, and make a firm determination and a resolve, may I follow in His path and may I liberate myself as well. Let's take a moment to chant the namaskara 3 times all together with me.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato Samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato Samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato Samma sambuddhassa
Did you know it takes 7 seconds to make your first impression? Just 7. And these seven seconds, within these 7 seconds, I think studies have shown that you make at the very least 10 assumptions. 10 assumptions. 7 seconds, 10 assumptions. Okay, this is good. However, well, some studies say that it takes tenths of seconds and milliseconds and whatnot, but that's not what's important here. It is the first assumption that's important. This impression that whoever you meet makes. Because when we've labeled someone, these are very unlikely to change unless something else happens. So for example, children will know, right? Their parents will look at someone and say, this person, they look like this. They are like this. And you'll see statistically, they are normally correct. Or so they think. We have this tendency, it's human nature to label people. To say that a person is like this or a person's like this, and we have this intrinsic nature to label. So within 7 seconds, you have all made your first impression on what today's going to be about. Have you not? Something's going to be about the first impression. Something's about, something about labeling others. Now, they say that the reason why we make these assumptions and this first impression is for survival purposes. Because back when we were primates, right, with our spears and arrows and bows, we needed to judge and say whether someone was friend or foe. Or if someone is trustworthy or not. That's why when normally if you walk on the street and you see and you glance outside, by looking at someone's facial features, you can judge their personality. So if someone had tattoos all over, normally we judge, cross the road. If someone has a smile on their face, we judge, they're safe. And we constantly make this judgment. And unfortunately, once you've made it, they are stuck. Thanks to our mind. So this leads to several different things. This leads to this idea that, okay, this person is like this and will always be like this. no matter how long, no matter how many times they do something different, they're continuously going to be like this. And it's not always negative. For example, if you were to, I think they did a study with teachers and students. And so they gave a group of 100 and something teachers photos, identity photos of children. And they were asked to label their, how well they're going to succeed in school. And also they were told to rate their appearance, their neatness, their presentability. And they found out that when children are very presentable, when they have a good appearance, teachers are more likely to say that they're going to succeed. And then they continued doing the study, and they found that teachers, when they were given an online class where they couldn't really see the other person, would give different grades when they had the same person in the class. Why is that? Because of labeling. We give them a label and say, this person, they look like they're very intelligent, so they must be intelligent. This person looks as though they are going to be a troublemaker. You've labeled them before they did anything. And then what? Then whenever they do something, you're like, oh, you see, I was right. I was right. See, they're now talking behind my back. They are the what? The troublemakers. They are given the label before they even make trouble. And it's not just in schools, in workplace as well. If one of your employees were charismatic, well, looked as though it looks very presentable, you have a tendency to trust them. You have the tendency to say, oh, they're you know, they're probably hardworking as well. All you notice is they're neat and they're charismatic. Now you say what? They're probably hardworking. They probably can work to deadlines. They can probably do whatever I ask them to do. Due to what? The labels. Labeling them as, oh, they are very good people. Now, the problem with this is, once this happens, we have something called, it's called the confirmation bias. Which means whatever views we have, we try to confirm it using the outside. We try to confirm. So, when you've labeled someone to be a troublemaker, if they do one thing wrong, what do we say? See, they are the troublemaker. But when they do something right, our mind ignores it. Doesn't take that and say that, you know, they may be not. Our mind completely ignores and says, that's just a chance. It's a chance. It's just not happening. It's just once in a blue moon, they decided to help someone. When actually they are truly helpful people. Now, this is what they call the halo effect or the horns effect, depending on which way you look at it, right? Halo meaning you've all seen angels, the halo, the ring around their head. Because once someone's been given this halo, now no matter what they do, it's good. So if someone who is charismatic and is very presentable, we trust, we say that they're very good, hardworking. When they make a mistake, we say it's okay. It's just once. It's just twice. And we make up our own minds thinking that they must be trustworthy. They look trustworthy. They look trustworthy, and they probably are. They must be. But then there may be someone else who may not have that charisma, maybe as skilled or even more skilled than the other. But in our heads, we think, this person, the charismatic person, works harder. Now, internally, we have this idea of labeling. Whenever you see someone, you've already given them a label, and no matter what they do, you keep on giving labels. That simply, growing up, we've been taught to label. Now, in almost every children programs or children films, there's always what? A goodie, and there's always what? A baddie. And they're very distinctively, you know, this person's good, this person's bad. And so, for example, we like Cinderella, because why? She's a very good person, right? She's very hardworking. She can sing. She's a very good person. We've labeled good. And then we have this evil stepmother, evil stepsisters. They are evil. Then their name itself is evil. You've labeled them to be evil. And so whatever they do, look, they're very stingy, right? They are always there to say something bad about Cinderella. And therefore we've labeled them. And so whatever they do, we like Cinderella. And we don't like these evil stepsisters. I remember, I can't remember the name of one of their stepsisters. Anastasia, there you go. In another episode or another film, Anastasia is portrayed as a good person. Now it's very hard to feel. She is good, but she was bad. Now, bad turned to good. Another brilliant example, and one that I respect a lot, is if you've ever read the Harry Potter series, or read or watched, you get to learn about a character called Snape, Severus Snape. Right. Through book 1 to, I think, 6. Yes? Correct me if I'm wrong. Well, the first most, except the last book, he's portrayed as what? The evil character. Stay away from him, run away from him, get away, he's rude, he's mean. And you've labeled him like that. And so whatever he does, we see through that angle. He pushes someone over. Oh, that's because he's evil. He casts a spell. Oh, that's because he's evil. Labels stick. But in the last book, what happens? His entire character flips over. His entire character, his entire history, you can't change history. But what can we change? The way we view it. So his entire character flips. His entire character. So whenever he does something bad, there's a reason behind it. Why did he do it? Why was he mean to Harry Potter? Why was he like this? Why was he like that? And he's now the good character. Now he's someone that we respect. How? Actions were the same. What was different? Oh, the label that we give him. The view that we have. So look around. How many people have we labeled? Have we labeled to be good and bad? In the very most fundamental way, we label people to be good and bad, trustworthy or not. So, for example, we are less likely to trust small children. Why? Because we have this label. They're small. They cannot be trusted. They're very impulsive. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe a 5-year-old is more trustworthy than a 50-year-old. Can't that be? So we label. But What is it that we label? What is it that we label? So you can say we label humans. We label people or beings. Okay. What in a being can we label? Because we have this tendency, a natural tendency, to put labels onto people. So we say, and also things as well. So what is this? This is a table. This is a board. This is a chair. And we label things that, you know, we have this feeling that this is what it is. Now, in a person, what can we label? So if I was to rephrase the question, what in a person is good? What in a person is bad? Okay. So before we describe who is good, what is good and what is bad, right? What is a person? A person is a body and a mind. Okay. Let's take that the mind is good, but the body is bad. What in the body is bad? Is it the heart, the lungs, the liver, the spleen? You know, this person, the spleen was bad. That's why they're bad. Was it the knees, the back? See, we don't label the body to be bad. We can't. For example, if we took a heart of a bad person and gave his heart to a good person, will this good person turn bad? I don't know. Will they have a bad heart now? Simply put, what about cells? Can you say this cell is good and this cell is bad? Well, we do, don't we? We say, you know, normal cells are good. What cells are bad? Cancer cells, they're bad. But when you realize that what our body does is just follow instructions, is just the following of instructions. So, a cancer cell, what is it doing? Following instructions. So is the instructions bad? So, we all know DNA, right? You know, we all draw DNA like... What is this? These are the instructions. What are these made out of? What is made out of? You know, the person, like, as they grow older, you know, these instructions are made after the person is born. You see, these are made out of what? Proteins. So DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, an acid, right, that holds the protein of life. So a certain part of this, we call it science. What do you call this? A certain part of DNA. What do you call it? Genes. Genes help code different proteins, and therefore it makes the cell change. Now, can we label something that changes? Can we label something that changes? So for example, let's say you have a stream of fast flowing water. If I was to take a handful of red paint and put it into this stream, can I call this stream red? But I put a handful of red paint inside, so shouldn't it be a red stream? I get the sea, I put a handful of red paint, now we call it the Red Sea. No, that's not how the Red Sea works, is it? But I put red in it, so can't I label it to be red. So this is a fast-flowing stream. I put a dye in it, red dye in it. Can't I call the entire stream red now? Why not? Because every moment, the moment I put the dye in, where's the dye now? Probably like 5 kilometers away in a fast-flowing stream. But yet we feel that, okay, if I drop it once, the entire stream is red. So coming back to the DNA. So we have this DNA and we have these genes. Even cancer cells, what do? They just follow instructions. Unfortunately, due to some reason, you know, we call it mutations. A certain gene mutates. When it mutates, what happens? The cell follows instruction. So who mutated the cell? Who mutated the cell? You know, it's all because, you know, of the sun. It's the sun's fault. It's the food that we eat. That's the fault of that. So is the sun bad or the food bad? Which one is bad? Which one can we label to be bad? Neither. So if DNA can't be bad and cells work because of DNA, can a cancer cell be bad? Can a cancerous cell be bad? You can't. So every single cell in our body is constantly changing. Every single cell in the body is constantly, you know, replicating, constantly dividing, constantly changing, constantly creating more proteins, and all this beautiful biology is a story. The story of life. It's continuous change. So if the cell continuously changes, can you call the cell bad? If I drop a handful of red dye into the sea, can it be the Red Sea? No. So can the cell be bad? Well, if the cell isn't bad, or if this mindless thing, if it's almost stupid to call this bad, then can the body be bad? Can the body be bad? Then what can be bad? It must be what? Has to be. If it's not the body, then it has to be the mind. The mind has to be bad. Okay, so we've had... So we want to label the mind. Let's label the mind. How? What is the mind? What is the mind? It's a constant what? It's a constant line, isn't it? See, they're all, you know, one line. This is the mind. Because don't we feel that the mind is like a boss working in a company? That the mind is there and the body is an employee of the boss. Don't we feel that? That the mind is something that's constantly constant. So the body can change, but the mind is constant. Because why? We have this idea that, okay, something, what is it that has to be there? Something has to be there to be able to be in charge or to be labeled. And so we have this boss that controls the employees. Now let's look at the boss. Let's look at the boss. You know, the mind is very interesting. The mind is always very interesting. The more we learn about the mind, the more interesting it becomes. So we know the mind has... Oh, the mind's nature is what? Is it one mind? Is it one mind? These are all even though they seem to be one line, these are all one moment, the mind arises and then passes away. It's distinct, not continuous. At one moment, the mind arises, and the other moment, and the next moment, the mind passes. Arise, pass, arise. Even when we say arising and passing, we have something that arises and something that passes. So we won't go there for now. But for now, understand that the mind arises and passes away due to what? Due to the causes. Due to the causes, the mind arises and then the mind passes. So, this mind right now arose due to the causes. Then it passes away. So, if I was to label someone, that's almost as if I'm saying, this mind, that mind's bad. But the moment you label something that's bad, what happens? Is it there now? It passed. It has already passed. The moment you label someone, trillions and trillions of minds have already passed. See, we can't label someone's body. We can't label someone's mind. Then what can we label? Someone's actions, right? Actions can be labeled. Actions can be said to be good or bad, right? Can't they? Okay, someone is hurting someone else. Is it good or bad? Bad. We can label this simply to be good or bad. Agree or disagree? Yes, of course. If we can't label the body, if we can't label the mind, then there has to be something we label. So, let's take actions. Okay, think of it like this. I give this pen to someone else. So someone is writing, their pen has run out, and they want a new pen. So I give this whiteboard pen to them. Good. Agreed? It has to be a good thing. Someone's in need, I take a pen and I give it to them. It's a good action. Their action is good. Is it? Someone needs something, I take what I have and I give it away. That's good. Is it? Can we judge actions? You don't like the color green, but I know that, I specifically know that. You don't like the color green. Say you have a phobia to green. You ask for a pen. I have three different colors. I know you don't like green, so I give you what? So is that now good or bad? Or an example that I always use, and it's very interesting. If you get to read someone, right, has taken a knife and stabbed it into someone else's stomach, what do you now say? That person is a murderer. That person is so bad. You know, those people, they deserve to go to where? They have to go to jail. That's what we feel, right? Someone takes a knife, stab. But if I was to change just the wordings, so knife, stab. If I was to take just the words and just change the words, let's see if you get a different feeling. Scalpel, right? That's what it says. Well, for better purpose, we call it S. Scalpel, right? Scalpel. And instead of stabs, we put inserts. Now how do we feel? She's a lifesaver. They have to be there. They are saving someone's life. They must be, you know, give them a promotion, give them more money, because they're lifesavers. But all we did was change the words. Because knife, scalpel, they're both cutting equipments. Stab, insert is both inserting. Well, what's the difference? One of them you feel to be, you know, this is bad. This is wrong. They have to go to jail. Because if that is so, if a knife stabbing, if someone... No. Don't take this the wrong way, right? Please. But if knife stabbing deserves jail, then can't scalpel insert also deserve jail? So can we label either one to be good or bad? Can't a doctor do the exact same thing? Take a scalpel and instead of inserting stabs, now what? A knife inserts. Now we're still okay with that. But if a scalpel stabs? No, that's wrong. So, actions? Can we judge actions? Another example that is a very good example is, if you saw someone take a pen and... Okay. We'll change the wording, right? So it sounds good. Takes a pen and inserts it into someone's neck. What do we say? That's good or bad? Well, what is that? Good or bad? It's bad. Because why? This is a pen here. Pen shouldn't be inside someone's body. So if a pen was to be inserted, that is bad. However, I remember learning... Not through school, thank God. But that if someone's having a severe allergic reaction, their tongue will swell. Tongue swelling means they'll block their airways, leading them to suffocate. So trained professionals, when they don't have all their medicine they need, what they will do is take a pen and insert it into the windpipe of the patient and remove the ink cartridge. So they have a hole to breathe it, potentially saving the person's life. So is that bad? It is. Your intention. What intention you have is what we can say to be good or bad. However, do you know my intention? Do you know my intention? I insert a pen into someone's neck. Do you know my intention? Would you ever be able to know my intention? So we can only, you know, approximate and say, this might be good, this might be bad. For example, stealing is bad. But then when you change the context, now sometimes you feel that, you know, stealing, like, yes, stealing is bad. However, you know, they had no other choice. They had to steal, or else, you know, their wife and children were about to die, and so they had to steal. So, you know, it's fair. Is it? So, if the body can't be labeled, the mind can't be labeled, and the action can't be labeled, then what is it that we label? It's like trying to stick something in thin air. Because why? No, there's nothing here you can label. This is changing, and actions can't be labeled because we don't know their intention. So it's like trying to make this pen float in midair. Can I ever make this pen without strings and mirrors and I don't know, technology? Can I make this pen just float midair? But labeling someone is like trying to put a sticker onto thin air. Trying to stick it onto someone. but there's nothing to stick it on. So you try to stick it. You believe that you stuck it somewhere. By labeling, you believe you stuck it somewhere. So, you know, this person is a bad person. So it's stuck somewhere, but they are now bad. They are now a bad person. You see, intrinsically, so inside of us, we have, it is a habit that we have that we label. Inside of us, we have this habit that we label. My question is, what do we label? Can we label? Is it a possibility to label? Is it a possibility that we label something? There is no base to build this massive house of labels. That's like trying to build a castle using water. Using just normal water. Can you make a castle? Can you make a massive mansion out of water? Without making it into ice. But can you make a massive mansion with water? Of course not. Because the ingredients or the building blocks that we use can't make something fixed, can't make something solid enough to put a label on it. So can we label another person? Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, I'm going to put a hand over a shoulder of, say, a serial killer and go like, oh, you're not a serial killer. And this doesn't mean that we should get rid of all jails. Because we have to understand that everything here is cause and effect. So if you were to know that, say, this person has stolen, right? Or this person is a thief. Knowing that you can't label, what do we do? Knowing that we can't label, what do we do now? We what? Remove the label? No. We use our intelligence. Because why? We know that this mind has had the idea or has the view that stealing is good. So therefore, you could still associate this person normally. However, you would make sure anything valuable is where it's supposed to be. Not because this person is a thief. Instead, this mind may have the view that stealing is good. It's like, you know, you won't give a child, a young child, a knife and give them, you know, one of the sharpest knives and say, "Puta, play with this." Why not? Why don't we give children knives? Because why? We can't label. We have to say that children have to be responsible, so why not give them knives? Can't we give them knives? Can't we? Well, we can. But what do we know? This child doesn't have what? This child doesn't have what? Knowledge, nor the experience to know that knives, if you can cut. So we don't give the child the knife. But it's not because we label them. Because we think that they don't have this view. But at any point, because we don't label, at any point we can give them the knife when we think that they are suitable. So a person who we've labeled to be bad can no longer be labeled bad. However, we know that they may have a view that, you know, hurting someone, they enjoy hurting people. Now, when we go and meet them, we don't have the view that they're bad. And therefore, we're not trying to confirm that, you know, they are bad. So, when they do something good, what are you saying? What is replaced in that idea that, you know, this person or this mind can also do what? Good. Can also help someone. This mind has the ability to hurt and the ability to heal. Now you're able to associate anyone. Tomorrow, right, for our Sila Shravika, Shravika, Sila, as he is, we're going to give you, you know, tomorrow there's going to be a serial killer, right? Going to join your ranks. Is that okay with you? Is it okay? Serial killer? Do we have to, like, I mean, can we leave the person in a different place? Like, yeah, he can be named Sita Shravaka, but can we leave him in a different place? Or maybe not give him Sita Shravaka. Maybe let's keep them a devotee for now. Why? Because we have this feeling that, you know, once a murderer, always a murderer. Okay, we're going to have a kleptomaniac. So someone who enjoys stealing, right? Who has uncontrollable stealing impulses. Join the Anagarikas. Now what? What do you feel? I mean, now that we have like computers, right? We have like, you know, pens and pencils that we want to keep, right? So can we not? Can we leave them in an isolated place? Is that possible? Because do we still feel that once a thief, always a thief? Or we have, I don't know, say, for example, in the near future, we'll be having people who have severe addictions to, say, drugs. A drug lord, someone who sells and uses drugs in mass scales, comes and joins the Anagarikas. Now, what do you think? We have to be very careful, right? You know, maybe we should keep him under 24-hour surveillance, under the cameras, right? Making sure he doesn't do anything bad. As in, yes, it's not saying you shouldn't, but the feeling that we have that once like this, always like this, that's what we have to get rid of. This idea that this person is a fixed identity, that this person is an unchanging person. That's what we have to get rid of. That is what we have to get rid of. This idea that this person is unchanging, that there's a person here. We have to come back to realize that this, it's a mind and a body. A mind and a body, that's all it is. A mind rises according to the causes and passes according to the causes. It's a manifestation. When you understand that now, whether they're a thief, whether they are, I don't know, a rapist, whether they're a murderer, whatever they do, they can now have your compassion. They can now have your metta, your loving kindness. Why? Because you don't judge them for their past actions. they do something wrong, you take the relevant you give them the relevant consequences, of course. But until then, they are just as equal as everyone here. They are just as equal as you. Whether, if they've said, you know, I want to change, I want, you know, I am now, from today forth, going in the refuge of the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Where should they be? Where should they be? If someone has promised that they're going and going to seek refuge in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, where should they be? They should be on top of your heads. Respect them as though they are, as because they are now part of who? The family. Several people will see that, you know, that people are different. That people can't be labeled to be good or bad. Because, for example, in your lives, you've of course done something bad. Whether it's lying, whether it's stealing, whether it's, you know, hurting someone's feeling. But if we were to label you to be a thief, because one time you stole, if you were labeled, you know, a murderer because you hurt someone's feelings. Now, if that is so, if we don't accept murderers, or if we don't accept so-called bad people, would any of us be here today? Luckily, we don't label. In the Buddha Sasana, we don't label. Every mind, every single mind has the ability to seek refuge in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Mahasangha. Every mind. But what happens? What happens if they've murdered their parents? That's one of the five heinous sins. Now what? Can't they seek refuge? They can. Only thing is that they won't be able to attain Nibbana. That's the only difference. But can't they do merits? Can't they help? Can't they help another person? I don't know. Help by, you know, telling them so, or help when someone's angry. Can't they go and console them when they need? I don't know. Can't they sweep the grounds? So what mind would the Buddha say? No. We can't help. There are minds that we don't help instantly. Some minds, maybe we may decide, not now. Maybe when the environment of mind changes, or when the causes changes, maybe. But for now, no. For example, right next to the Jetavana, the monastery, or back in the Buddha's time of the Jetavanarama, there used to be a butcher's area where, you know, Chundasukar used to murder, to butcher animals. Did the Buddha go and preach? Out of compassion. Because he knew that if he said this, what's going to happen to Chundasukar? What's going to happen? He's going to get angry. He's going to start to become really angry with the Mahasangha, and therefore he will never get the chance to do merits that will help him attain Nibbana someday. So can't he take refuge in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha? So who can't? So any label that you have of anyone, it's because of the mind's idea of, you know, there is something fixed. Something fixed, whether it's body, mind, or actions. That there has to be something fixed that we can label. So reverse this. Reverse. Go backwards. And realize there is nothing here that you can label. You can be cautious. Please, please do. be cautious, but don't label. Once this, always this. Don't label. Understand that it's all cause and effect. It's all a manifestation. So coming back to, if I was to give a pen to someone, imagine someone wants an apple and they're sitting under an apple tree, and just like Isaac Newton, an apple falls into this person's hand. Is that good or bad? Did the tree do merits or demerits? Did the tree do pain or power? The cause came together to give that manifestation. See, we have to understand, use what we have and put into practice. Because it is an innate feature that our mind has, that our mind has practiced from childhood. As a child, hasn't your parents not said, you know, don't associate this person because they're bad. Associate these smart people. Again, your parents labeled. And therefore you learned, okay, these people are good, these people are bad. But in your own life, have you never seen a bad person turn good or a good person turn bad? So where are you labeling? So since childhood, we have continuously learned to label every film, every media, in the medias, in our own experience, we've labeled. Now it's time to go back, to undo, get rid of all the labels that we've placed. No one deserves to be labeled. No one deserves to be labeled. I remember reading many, many years back, I think it was a documentary about a crime. I can't remember the murderer's name, but he was very hard to catch. Right? He was very hard to catch, and so there had to be a SWAT team that has to be undercover and all this stuff. And finally, they caught this murderer. And it was very interesting that after he was caught, this murderer says, under this coat, there's a weary heart, an innocent heart. Back then, I thought, this can't be. What is he saying? No, it's a murderer. He's killed many people. He deserves to go to jail. But aren't all hearts innocent? Aren't all minds innocent? Every mind is innocent. Unless we say that, no, this mind is bad. We're getting rid of the innocent nature. So, for the benefit of society, he may be thrown to jail. Because why? If we had serial killers outside, that means the population will decrease. So that's why they put it in jail, not because they are labeled murderers. So please don't have, not to you, but online, right? Think that I'm saying that we shouldn't have jails. I'm not saying that we should not put anything, we shouldn't label, or we shouldn't say that this is good or this is bad. We should have this. But we should understand that labels can't be placed. That bad can turn to good, and good can turn to bad. So reverse, undo these labels, get rid of labels. Meet every person you meet. Try to feel as though they are equal to each other. Whether you're meeting a friend, whether you're meeting, hopefully no, but you don't have any, but enemies, you should feel them to be the same. So reverse, undo. Okay, so I also wanted to show you all a video which can really Because once you understand how the mind works, everything comes and you can see it like that. You can see everything as a projection of the mind. So I won't tell you what you're going to see, right? So keep vexed about that. But I'll explain to you the mind, and I want you to compare this to the video that you're going to see. Okay. A mind arises due to what? Causes. So if we were to break it down, what would the causes be? What are the things that have to combine to make a mind? That we can very basically say. Well, first of all, you need two things. You need something to stimulate it, right? So you need, say, the eye and objects and So we need the eye and the object, right? And these two, when they combine, right, when they stimulate, and they send it through the eyes, the brain, right? So the brain is also a cause here, right? There are millions of causes if you want to think about it. And eventually, the mind arises. Now, are these there to hurt the mind? Are these there to be mean to the mind? So you see, or let's say, body plus physical contact. Are these there to be mean to the mind? Are these there to be mean to the mind? Say they feel pain. Is the pain felt because of these two? Because of these two. It has to be because of these two that this mind feels pain. Is it? Well, if you know, these two aren't being mean to the mind, aren't being rude to the mind, aren't being something that's trying to upset the mind. Why is that? Because this is the mother and father of the mind, is it not? This is basically the mother and father of the mind. So, if you think about this, right? The mother and father of the mind. So, for example, let's take a scenario. A book falls onto your head. There's a book on a shelf, and it falls and hits you on the head. Painful, right? Ever happened to you? If it's ever happened, you know the pain. It's painful. A book falls onto your head. Pain. So body, physical contact of the book, head in the head, gives rise to the first, to a mind. The mind that does Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinyana. Right? This isn't there to make the mind feel pain. Why is it? Because this is the mother and father of the child. This is the child that's created. So if we were to say, ask this and this, are you happy or are you satisfied? What is it going to say? Yeah. I wasn't supposed to make you angry, so I'm pretty happy and satisfied. But when the mind arises, it has this idea that, you know, I don't like this. I don't like this. Change it. Remove it. Get rid of it. So it's almost like what? A child saying to their parents, I don't want you. I don't want you to be my mother and father. I want another one. So who does it want instead? You know, I want to eat chocolate. I want to eat chocolate instead. So I don't want this, I want this. Please give it to me. Now what? Can this child get this now? So no matter what, this is the parents. Even though this mind doesn't want this, can it ever change? So whatever arises has to pass. Whatever arises has to pass. So when the causes are no longer there, what arises will pass. See, this is how the mind works. Although we have this idea that, you know, I want this, I want that, this mind wants, I, you know, I want to eat chocolate. I don't want to eat salads. Salads are, yeah. I want to have some, you know, I want to have a pizza today. The mind may want, but will it ever get? Because once it wants, what happens? Even if these two words tell the mind, look, both body and physical contact have to come together for you to arise. Will the mind understand? Will the mind understand? No, because why? It feels that no. It feels as though the mind arises and then this happens. So it's almost like the child thinking that it's the mother. The child thinks that it's the father. I am the parent. That's why it feels that no, I should be able to get what I want. I need to get the chocolate that I want. I want to get the pizza that I want. I don't want this, I don't want that. Because it thinks that the mind is first. So even if you were to convince and say, you know, the body and physical contact have to come together for you to arise. Thanks to Jati, it thinks, no. I want this. I don't want that. And so it's now getting under so much vexation. But it can never release that vexation. It can never release that vexation. Instead, when the causes pass, it passes away with it. So we do have a video. Is Dasip there? In this video, you'll see this in real time. You'll see an example of this. That the mind will always be, the mind is the child of the causes. But because of Jati, what does it think? I am causeless. I am there. I don't want to feel pain, I want to feel chocolate. I don't want to feel pain. I want to feel pizza. I don't want to feel pain. I want to do this. I want to do that. But no matter what, it is the child of the causes. It's the child of the causes. See, our mind constantly will wish for things. It will constantly, because why? Ignorance, attachment, and vexation. Whatever the mind needs, it's always going to vex for it. It's a very good thing. It's very, very, you can think of it like this, right? You know how some people say, you know, I don't get angry? You know, I don't get angry. I'm always a very happy person. I very rarely get angry. However, if they like something, if they're attached to something, because of desire, now they have what? And because of this, they have a vexation. Now what? When they don't get what they want, can they not? If they can't release vexation, are they happy now? This is why, even though you're not someone who gets, you know, over the top anger, you still go, like you're typing, right? And you get a letter wrong, you go, or, you know, you're trying to do an activity, like say, balance these pens on each other, right? It falls. You're not going to go screaming with rage. However, you're going to do what? You're going to go, that is a sign of what? Vaishya. Because why? You have an attachment to what? This has to go exactly how I plan. I am attached to the output of this. If you have one poison, you have three poisons. Because why? If you have raga, if you don't get what you want, what do you have now? Vaishya. And these are all because of what? Moha. All because of what? Moha. So there's something like, no matter what, if I gave you a coin to tell you to flip it, for as long as you have the coin, moha, you flipping the coin will either give you heads, raga, or tails, dvesha. Okay, try not getting anything. For as long as you flip the coin, either you're gonna get raga, or you're gonna get dvesha, or you're gonna get the coin. No matter what, you can't escape from the coin. If you have an attachment, the three poisons are always there. The three poisons are always poisoning you. For example, so we weren't able to watch the video today. This is a good thing that happened. Well done. Right? Because we weren't able to watch the video. Now we are in the state of disappointment. Not able to watch the video today. But what is it reinforcing? What is it reinforcing? It's reinforcing the view that what? Watching the video will make me what? Feel happy. Watching the video will make me feel happy. So if I gave you something, or if I don't give you this, for as long as you're not focused, or for as long as you're not mindfully aware, the same thing happens. I give you, you like seeing blue. I show you blue. You're confirmed that what? Blue makes you happy. Instead, I show you black. You think, if I had blue, I would be happy. So, You can say that, you know, I don't feel like dvesha, I don't get angry. But actually, you do. You do. You can say, you know, I used to get very angry. Now I don't get angry at all. The last time I was angry was 3 years ago. Well, actually, this morning you're probably angry with your alarm clock. I have to wake up today morning. Or the alarm clock didn't go off. The alarm clock didn't go off. Now you're what? Annoyed. But you make up your mind and say, you know, it's okay. It's okay because it's like this. But you started off with what? You started off with dvesha. So, this is the thing. Now you have something to contemplate on. Right? This amazing video that I was about to show you. You know, if you were able to watch that video, you would have got a very, very entertaining video. Right? You would have got this understanding this every time you see. No, I'm not giving you any hints. No hints. Dex. Continue vexing. Now you have something to contemplate on. See, when they say everyone's a teacher, when they say everything's a teacher, is that wrong? Whatever happens was just, it's supposed to happen, because why? The cause is manifested that way. So it's now what? A teacher. Whether you feel raga, whether you feel dvesha, whether you're vexing, whether you feel something and you say this, you know, this looks good, this looks nice. Oh, this, you know, this is very lightweight and it's very nice and I can use it. This is also what? A teacher. You see, when they say everyone becomes, once you start seeing the problem, everyone becomes your teacher. Every single thing and everyone will become your teacher. So, whether you had the video, or, unfortunately, no video today. That's what? Your teacher. So you have to be the good student. To take the teachings of the teacher. To understand what the teacher is trying to say here. So, that's it. You may want to like build like a wall around you just in case they're going to be very angry with you, maybe. Or maybe you'll be contemplating and anger, you will no longer feel the desire to watch. So would that mean that when I say next week I'll show it to you, you'll sign on and say, I don't want to watch. I'm going to leave now. Now will that happen? Now, whatever comes, it's okay. If there's a video, okay. No video, okay. So next week, I don't know, the entire electrical system blows up. Okay. Whether we have electricity or not, okay. Whether you're alive or not, okay. We have, because everything here is your teacher. Whatever happens, there's something that's trying to tell you. For example, you brushed close with death. What is that telling you? That life is what? Cause and effect. You feel a pain. What's it trying to tell you? Anicca. Let's say the wind blows and a tree branch falls onto your roof. What is it teaching you? Anicca. I don't know, like a massive jackfruit hits your roof with a massive dong. Right, you jump 3 meters. But what's it trying to teach you? Anicca. We have to be the student here. So when I say, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. It's not that, you know, the teacher will come out of the blue, right? You know, like a genie from the lamp, right? Rub the lamp and the genie comes out. It's not like that. Once you become the student, you realize that everything is your teacher. It's not that it appears or that, you know, it's like a force that comes out of the blue. Instead, it's what? When you become the student, you realize you're surrounded by what? You're surrounded by what? Teachers. So become a student. Understand the Dhamma and become the student. See, listen to your teachers. Listen to your teachers. Well, what else happens if you don't listen to teachers? At school, when you don't listen to teachers, what happens? You get told off. So if you don't listen to the teacher, what happens? Every mind gets told off. Does it not? Because every mind, as it passes away, it's screaming. No, I want this. Because why? It didn't learn the lesson that the teacher taught. The teacher taught. To become a student. So again, unfortunately, you know, this amazing video, we might as well erase this. No video for you. No video for you. No video, so might as well get this rid of this as well. So you know, normally I give you homework to do or task to do, right? You have a task. So next week, I may show you the video or not. We're going to have to wait until next week then. It'll be really funny because it'll be funny if like I'm hyping this video so much and you come up and you say, Paradi, I was vexing for this. What a waste. We'll see. Keep everything as your teacher. Whatever comes up, you know, you wake up with a dead arm. You know when you sleep wrong on an arm or normally with arms, right? You sleep wrong on an arm and then you wake up and it becomes really numb. I remember, I think Amar Asnala, he talked about this once. The first day it happened to him, he thought that he lost an arm. I thought the same. I woke up one day and my arm was dead. Right? I tried to shake it and I can barely feel it. I actually went crying to Amma and going, Amma, I can't feel my arm. But when I was running to her, I can slowly start feeling it. And Amma, being Amma, right? She said, you know, Bhute, we have to cut the arm off. We have to cut the arm off. What are we going to do now? But when you get a dead arm, that's also what? A teacher. Your alarm clock is what? A teacher. Not your enemy. Your alarm clock is not your enemy. It's your what? Your teacher. Use the teacher. Learn the lesson it's going to give you, or else every morning you're going to wake up thinking, 5 more minutes left. Five more. Snooze. Just give me 5 more minutes. Alarm clock, please. I was just enjoying this amazing dream. This is what? Your teacher. Understand the teachings. Because did you go to school forever? No, you went to school for, you know, from the age of 4 to 5 to 18, 19, and then if you went to campus or uni, you went to uni. If not, you're not. But schooling isn't forever. Same thing with your teachers. If you keep not learning, you have to keep going. But if you learn the lessons, your schooling life will end. Then you don't need teachers. Now you're not going to get punished for, you know, not learning the lessons. Because now who are you? You're an arahant. Free from all sort of suffering. Free from all sort of suffering, all sort of defilements. So learn your lesson. Understand everyone to be your teacher. And let it be. The more you understand, the truth will set you free. So keep it then. Keep your teachers on your head and learn from them. Alright, we have come to the end of our time today as well. Okay, then let's take a few moments to transfer merits to conclude today's session. Okay then, let's take a moment to transfer all the merits we've acquired by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirit Lisan Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of Lord Buddha's teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to the Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha, and passed it down through the generation of noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all chief prelates of the chapters, who have dedicated their lives to no path and committed themselves to betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget, among them will be the monks and nuns resident in your local temples and nunneries who have always been by your side through thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to Guru San Nansim, as well as other monks resident at the monastery, as well as the Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits and express our gratitude to those who make great effort to disseminate the teaching of the Buddha, be that by transliterating sermons, sharing them out with others, inviting others to join them. May the power of these merits. If anything born in the willful planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plane. May by the power of merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble footpath, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits that we have acquired to our devotees, friends of the monastery who, for sake of merits, continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, robes, medicines, as well as those who pass on and know how to extend their well wishes. May through the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble footpath, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And so, taking a moment to transfer merits to mothers, fathers, husbands and wives, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, nieces, friends and acquaintances, employees, and to all those who have been friends and family to us and who have helped us, supported us, assisted us in any shape or form. By the power of these merits, may they be healed in physical and mental ailments, may they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress, may they abstain from their meritorious deeds, fulfill their meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble footpath, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to the devas, brahmas, spirits, demons, primarily the sakadevas, wasimas, gods and deities, who are committed to protecting and fulfilling some of the disaster. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our garden deities, who keep a watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of these merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss in Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors, who have predeceased us, to all the friends and family to us in this infinite long journey of samsara. There's also a moment of transfer merits to who have helped to support our sisters in the initial form. Also, a moment of transfer merits to the members of the armed forces, as well as the police force, who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those lost lives in the war be their friend or foe. Rejoice in the merits acquired today. There's also a moment of transfer merits to all those lost their lives in natural calamities, such as tsunamis, earthquakes, and other pandemics. Reminding ourselves among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this long journey of samsara. May by the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the willful planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the willful path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, may the power and blessing of all the merits acquired throughout the day. We've been a witness to the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arahat Nuances, Arahat Main Nuances,
in this blessed land. And finally, may through the power of all the merits acquired throughout the day, you and I and everyone who have helped make this program a success, become an Arhat Nuhansi or an Arhat Main Nuhansi in his very life, in the era of the Gautama, the Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of the Noble Triple Gem be with you all. The Mahasangha will now transfer the blessings to you. Raga ginnin midetnva, dvesha ginnin midetnva, moha ginnin midetnva, nibbhana parama sukhayin, sukita taravetnva. Nibbhana parama sukhayin, sukita taravetnva. Mamada siyalu loka, siyalu sattvayo. Nibbhana parama sukhayin, sukita taravetnva. Nibbhana parama sukhayin, sukita taravetnva. Nibbhana parama sukhayin, sukita taravetnva. Raga gini niveva, dvesha gini niveva, moha gini niveva, nivan sapa labeva, nivan sapa labeva. Nivan sapa labeva. Tunrunge, Susyananta Mahavanibele, Siloka Silasatim, Nibhana Pramasukim, Sukhara Etava, Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.